from the wind blows puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago.
We're getting active on Abandoned Manitoba this morning. Frankly, I'm a little disappointed that Gordon Goldsborough is not wearing his gym clothes.
Okay.
What are we talking about today?
Well, last week...
Good morning, first of all. Sorry, you can catch your breath. It caught you off guard. I don't know, it was so funny, to be honest, but I like it.
This the mental picture of me in gym clothes. That alone is funny.
Oh, Gordon. All right, remind us of the clue from last time.
Last week I said we were going to visit a small building near Carberry where a popular winter activity was done in the summer. The answer does require a bit of explanation, so I'm not going to reveal it just yet.
All right, so what can you say about the building that's in today's topic?
Well, this building was brought to my attention about 6 months ago by one of our listeners, Robert Smith of Edrans. And just a few weeks ago, I had an opportunity to go and look at the building while I was traveling in the Carberry area. And one of my practices when I first visit a building for the first time is to pace it out, to get an idea of its size. And so when I paced this building out, what I found was that it was kind of unusual. It was 18 feet wide, so not especially wide, but 160 feet long. I mean, really long. And it was really kind of strange. It had just two rooms inside. One of them was a fairly small, roughly square room, and it had a great big window looking into the other room. But the other room was very, very long, 145 feet long. And along the length of it, it had windows, I suppose, to let light into this second room.
So the second room sounds really unusual.
Yeah. Initially, I didn't really quite know what it might be. But the fact that it was long and narrow and low, well, I should also say at the edges of the building, it was probably no more than 6 feet tall. And even in the center, it was only about 8 feet high. So quite a small building. If we have any fans of curling listening, they'll probably hear those dimensions and know immediately what we're talking about. We're talking about a curling rink. And in fact, an exact one sheet curling rink. It's 18 feet wide and 145 feet long. Those are the dimensions of a one sheet curling rink. Now, it turns out then that the bigger room was the actual ice for the rink. The smaller room at the other end was what they called the waiting room, and that was the part that was heated. The rest of the room, of course, to keep the ice intact, you wouldn't heat the rest of the building. And then at other times, because in some cases where they had these curling rinks, they might not have other sort of available public space, they also used the waiting room for a variety of social events, things like luncheons and card games and even what they called pie nights, where you'd get together, you'd have pie and conversation and those sorts of things.
Now, what do you know about this particular one-sheet rink?
Well, unfortunately, time, weather, and vandals have not been kind to it. The building is in really poor condition. You know, it's got a whole bunch of missing roof shingles. It's got large holes all along its roof, its walls. It looks to me like it hasn't been used for curling in a very long time. But, you know, at first I knew actually nothing about its identity. So, of course, in order for me to learn about its history, I had to find out, first of all, what its name was. And this turned out to be surprisingly easy to do. So I first measured its precise latitude and longitude, so I knew exactly where it was. And using these coordinates, I was able to determine in which school district it has been. You know, what people may not realize is that in the old days where there maybe weren't communities nearby, when people identified with a particular area of Manitoba, what they would say is they were from a particular school district. So, you know, so for example, my dad's family lived in the Ferndale School District. That was the name of the school. And so everybody just said, oh, I'm from Ferndale, even though you are hard-pressed to find that place on a map. So therefore, you know, people would often identify with the local school district. And it turns out, looking at the coordinates, that this was the Somerville School District. And of course, people would say then that they were from Somerville. Now, listeners know that I love playing with words. And so, of course, here's the answer to my hint. A building called Somerville, where you host a popular winter pastime of curling.
Now, how did it get the name of Somerville?
You know, I wanted to know that too. But unfortunately, although it's possible that the names of school districts commemorate things like the names of local residents, their original place of residence, you know, and other things, in this case, no. I could find no reason for it to have been called Somerville. In fact, the family that pioneered this area, that in fact offered land for this curling rink, they were called the Muirheads. So, you know, it could have just as readily been called the Muirhead School District, as far as I could tell. But no, so I really don't know why it was called Somerville.
How common are one-sheet curling rinks in Manitoba?
Well, at one time, they were very common throughout rural Manitoba, but today they're mostly gone. You know, and in fact, I'm not aware of a single one-sheet country rink that remains in operation, but I would love to hear from our listeners if anyone knows of one. But, you know, these little rinks are another symptom of the transformation of the rural landscape in Manitoba. You know, just as the one-room schoolhouses gave way to the large multi-classroom schools in towns and, you know, and many of the small grain elevators gave way to the large grain elevators. Well, likewise, the one-sheet rural rinks have mostly closed in favor of the larger sort of multi-sheet rinks in towns. And yet the Somerville curling rink still has, I think, a very interesting history in itself.
How long have people in Manitoba curled for?
That was an interesting question, too. It is believed that the first curling game played in Manitoba occurred on the 11th of December, 1876. And basically, it was a brand new indoor rink that it was established by the Manitoba Curling Club. And in fact, one of the first curlers was the contractor who built the Stony Mountain Penitentiary. So actually, Stony Mountain's involved in a lot of the early sports in Manitoba. Here's my link to curling. In fact, the first warden of the penitentiary was involved in golf. Why? I don't know, but there is that linkage. So that was 1876. Within 5 years, we have the establishment of Winnipeg's Granite Curling Club. It was founded in 1881, and of course, it gets its name from the curling rocks, which in most cases today, at least, are made from granite, are made from stone. And it's probable that the first curlers in rural Manitoba began to become active in sort of the same time frame, certainly by the late 1890s. If we come back to Somerville, we find that the first curling occurred in 1910, and they actually formed something called the Somerville Curling Club, and it became formally constituted in 1911. In fact, it became one of the first members of what was called the Manitoba Curling Association to formalize the sport in Manitoba. They became members in 1911. One of the very first things they bought was a full set of curling rocks. It cost them the princely sum of $17 a pair. I suspect they're a little bit more money today. The building, so the one that I found and I looked around inside of, it was constructed in 1928 by volunteer workers. They raised funds locally, and they built this basically as a public venture on the land provided by the Muirhead family. In 1936, the local women organized what they called the Somerville Ladies Curling Club that had 16 members. And what I found through the history of it was that they had quite a frequent mixed bonspiel where both men and women would curl together.
Do we know when and why the curling rink was abandoned?
Well, according to the local history book, the last time that the Somerville rink was used was 1947. So it's been, in other words, empty a very long time. And I suspect this was because there was simply more convenient to travel to Carberry. It's only 7.5 miles away. You could then curl in a bigger facility, you know, but there was more room for having, you know, multiple games at once. Of course, in Somerville, only one game at a time. So I think that was the attraction. I did talk to the owner of the property where the old rink sits, and she told me that her family converted the former rink into a granary. The way they did that is they poured a concrete floor in the bottom. Previously, it had just been the soil that they'd put the ice on top of. They added metal reinforcing rods to kind of hold the walls, because otherwise the weight of the grain would just cause the walls to split open. And they put little doors along the length of the building so they could pour the grain in and then pull the grain back out again. And apparently it was used as a granary for quite a number of years. What is also interesting, she said that the waiting room was used as a Sunday school. And in fact, right across the street from the curling rink was a United Church. And I guess they just didn't have room in the church for the Sunday school, so the kids would go across the road and they'd have their Sunday school classes in the waiting room. Well, eventually the church was hauled away, but the family actually did preserve the waiting room as, you know, kind of a local time capsule until quite recently. Unfortunately, vandals broke in and they did quite a lot of damage to it. The church itself was later moved away, and I'm told it has burned down. And, you know, and so in effect, this little rink remains one of the last reminders of the Somerville community. But it isn't the only one, because if you want another reminder of this early curling club, you can go to Carberry. Because I'm told by my informant, Robert Smith, that the original Somerville curling rocks, those ones that were purchased way back in 1911, are on display in the curling rink in Carberry.
That's great, Gordon. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
What's for next week?
Well, you know, in the biological world, male birds often will build a nest on speck, hoping that it'll be attractive enough to bring in a female. Well, we're going to talk next week about a story of a man who in 1916 built a beautiful fieldstone farmhouse near Salsgirth in hopes it would entice the woman he loved.
Are you going to tell us a love story?
In a way, yeah.
Oh, I can't wait, Gordon. Thank you.
See you next week.
Every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba, many moons ago.